Anything of this kingdom is shakable. That is, of created things. We've been given something that's unshakable. So, if you were going to immigrate to the United States, immigration's kind of a big topic right now, but if you're going to immigrate and you're going to be naturalized, you need to take an oath. You got to take an oath. Here, I'm going to read the oath to you. I hereby, on oath, that I absolutely, and in, this is the oath that you take in the United States of America, okay? That I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, continent, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have therefore been subjected to or citizen. That I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to do the same. That I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law. That I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law. That I will perform work of the national importance under civilian direction when required by law. And that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose or evasion. So help me God. That's quite an oath. How many of you have taken that oath? There's a man who took the oath. Cheryl took the oath. We're all under that oath. What's that? Well, you can lie if you want. But and on top of that, you must learn the English language, unless you're part of the 50-20 or the 55-15. In other words, if you're 50 years old and you've been in the country with a green card for 20 years, you don't have to learn the English language. Or if you're 55 and have been here 15 years, I don't know. It all comes down to that. But you need to learn the English language. Now, why am I bringing that up? I'm not promoting anything about America today. But when you leave one country and go to another country, there's things you gotta leave and things you gotta adhere to. Now, today we have a lot of people coming into our country who haven't taken that oath. And they probably never will have to. It seems like we have people just coming in. But I was wondering about that, because we as Christians have left one kingdom and come to another kingdom. Have we come in to the kingdom of Jesus correctly? Have we entered into all that He wants for us, or have we kind of come in a side door? That's one of the things I want to look at today. So, you had to change your allegiance when you came to America, and you had to change your identity. You're now an American. And you had to learn a new language. So, how does that apply to our journey with God? When you're born of God, you are transferred to a new kingdom. Do you know that? When you're born of God, the Father, it says in Colossians, transfers you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. There's been a transfer of kingdoms. Just like if you were a foreigner coming to another country. You have been taken from here. It says we are no longer citizens of the world. We become citizens of heaven. One kingdom to another. Okay? That's the transfer. From one kingdom to another kingdom. The reason people are leaving the kingdom of darkness, Jay Bunker, he lives right next to a Catholic cemetery. And he saw the priest uptown and he says, man, he says, there's lots of people from your church dying to live close to me. That's why they got fences around graveyards, you know, because people are dying to get in. Anyway, why are people leaving the kingdom of darkness? The kingdom of darkness has no future. The kingdom of darkness is over as we really know it. You want to talk about church being over. The kingdom of darkness has already been judged. Everything in that kingdom perishes. And that's why Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Because if you don't believe in Him, you perish. It's over. It's already been judged. There isn't any hope for the kingdom of darkness. None. And the only way to be saved from that kingdom is through Jesus. That's it. There isn't another way. And that's not a better lifestyle. It's not anything about, I got to clean up my act. No, you need to be out of one kingdom into another kingdom. Out of this one, into this one. Okay. Get that straight. So we too must renounce that kingdom and surrender to the jurisdiction of this kingdom. Okay? Now, this kingdom of darkness had its certain rules and regs, but I'm telling you, this kingdom over here also has its jurisdiction of laws and rules and regs. You're not set free from one so that you don't have anything to worry about. Well, you're set free from this jurisdiction and put into a new jurisdiction. Over here you're under the jurisdiction which is called the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's what we've entered into. We have a certain advantage, however, that most people that go to a new country don't have. We have a certain advantage because our Father in heaven not only qualified us to go into that kingdom of His beloved Son, but He's also given us the Spirit or life in Jesus, our eternal life, and the Holy Spirit is our helper and our guide. So you enter into this kingdom fully equipped with somebody to help you and guide you. It's like getting to Ellis Island and they assign you a person, said, I'll be with you as long as you stay in America. And I know all the ins and outs of America. And you can count on me. The Holy Spirit has been given to you, and so you're in this kingdom. Don't be afraid, because you have everything necessary pertaining to that life, and He'll help you all the way. So we have an advantage there. Whatever was ever in the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself, is now in you. Wow. How about that? Whatever was within him is now in you. That's pretty neat. We have the new jurisdiction in us. The laws and life of the kingdom of Jesus are firmly established and they can never be altered. You know, sometimes in the church over the years, certain things have been sinful, and then later they're not sinful. Man can somehow, it used to be wrong to do this, but now it's not wrong to do this. And man was making up things as he saw them. I tell you, you get into the kingdom of Jesus, things are that way, and they'll be that way. They've been that way, and they're never going to change. You don't get to make things up over here. It's established. It's been established before, and it will always be that way. You can't somehow... Well, I wonder how, we'll have a committee and we'll figure out what the king... No, the committee will either get it right or wrong, but the only time they get it right is when they agree with what it was. It's not that they change anything. All right. Wow. Amazes me it works every time. It really does. So, have you ever been given a gift? Someone walks into the house and say, I got something here. You can have it. You can have this. Well, Jesus is a giver. He's the giver of gifts. You know that? The world was a taker. If you live in the world, you'll know that the world's a taker. They come and they take from you, and they rob you, and they steal from you. But Jesus, you come to Jesus, He's a giver. He's a giver. He gives gifts like righteousness. Gives gifts, eternal life. Given to you. But He's also given us some other gifts. Have this attitude. Have this attitude. Take this attitude from me. These are good things. Have this attitude in you. Have it. It's a gift to you. You can have it. It's not something you have to go looking for, something you have to learn outside of yourself, but it is already in you. But sometimes these gifts that He gives us, we need to receive them. There's something about you can have a gift, but if you don't receive it, you probably aren't really experiencing it. So we need to receive the gifts that He gives us. Okay, question. I was driving to work on Thursday. Not very far from my house to here. But in that little short drive, I had a question from the Lord. Do you form your attitude, Steve, by your experiences? Do you let your attitude be formed by what just happened? Or is your attitude brought into every experience? And your attitude doesn't change from experience to experience. How do you form your attitudes? I thought, well, have this attitude. Have this unchangeable attitude. Have this attitude that I give you that's been there from before creation, and now I'm giving it to you, and it's an unchangeable attitude. It's an attitude that you are. You are. It's who you are. It's your attitude. Do you know that an attitude is just how you are? Boy, that guy's got a good attitude. He's always that way. Well, the attitudes that are in Christ Jesus are all good. Every one of them is far above any attitude that you could come up with. It's the best attitude we can ever have. But have we grabbed onto that and said, that's my attitude. That's mine. You know, sometimes people come to America and it takes them a long time to really feel like they're an American. Because they haven't really taken on everything. Sometimes we've just been lost. But when we take on Jesus' attitude and we say, this is really who I am. This is who I am. And I don't get to change that. I don't get to form my attitude by some experience I just went through. And I'm speaking about my attitude about the other person in that experience. I don't get to have a different attitude anytime I want it. I only get to have the attitude that was given to me in Christ Jesus. So, that was pretty convicting. I don't know if it is for you, but it was for me. In other words, are you drawing off of the eternal attitudes of Jesus to govern every experience? Is it that attitude that governs how you relate to everything that happens to you? What governs your experience with the world? What governs your experience with one another? You see, He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness in us so that we can enter into whatever experience and whatever relationship we have with His God-given eternal attitudes. We do not have the freedom to form our own attitude. We don't have the freedom as a Christian to have any kind of attitude we want. We only get His attitude. And that's it. His life only has His attitude. Dwayne had this word years ago at the other building. Remember that? God hates a mix. We don't get to mix these attitudes together. The only one that's going to last is His attitude. That's the only one that's going to make it in the end. And the end is coming. I've only gotten started. So here's a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things we have no law. Now these things belong to Christ Jesus, who have crucified the flesh and their passions and desires. But then he makes a statement. If we're going to live by the Spirit, let's also what? So if we're going to have Christ's attitude in us, let's also walk that attitude out. Let's also do it. We already got the life in us. Have we got the walk? That's what we're looking for. So, the Holy Spirit is at work in our mind or our soul, renewing our mind to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, your soul isn't just being updated. Your soul is kind of like there, but it now has a new life, and Jesus is at work in your soul, renewing it to the true knowledge of Jesus. That's what the renewal is. It's to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. The renewal is about knowing Him. That's the renewal, about getting to know Him and Him being established in us. I appreciate, Roger, your reading part of this today, but since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Okay, that's what's happening in us. So whatever is going on in you, it is bringing you to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, and these attitudes of Christ Jesus are being formed in us. And when we agree with Him, I'll tell you, when you start agreeing with God on these attitudes, it's a good thing. It's a peace that comes over you. I'll tell you, it's really tough on your flesh. Really tough on your flesh. Your flesh will scream, I don't want to do it. No! But I don't care. Your flesh is going to go one way because what? The cross is an aroma of death to that which is perishing, but it's an aroma of life to that which is being saved. Okay, so there's a two sides of the cross. One is killing you. That's who you were. And the other is giving you life. Once you're born again, your identity is now fully in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The I there is your old self. Okay, I've been crucified with Christ. Christ is Jesus, the life given to me. Jesus is the man who became a life-giving spirit. And in that statement, me is my soul, the one that He came to save. Okay, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, to the piercing and the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intents of your heart, and there is no creature hidden in His sight, but all things are laid bare before the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. You suppose you could actually fool somebody and look like you have a good attitude when inside you don't? You could be doing a lot of good things that everybody might think everything is wonderful, but inside, you know, it's like the girl, she's doing dishes. And she said, I might be standing up here doing dishes on the outside, but on the inside, I'm over there watching TV. God is looking at the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Is it something, these attitudes, are they something you intend to do? Is it something that you love to do? Is it something you walk out and say, yes, this is who I am? The Holy Spirit is renewing our mind to the true knowledge of Jesus. To surrender to all of Jesus' attitudes is the only choice we have, but it is also the best choice. It's always the best. Jesus is the best. There's no one good but God. Nothing else is good. Jesus is good. Now remember, Jesus' attitude does not change from circumstance to circumstance. His attitudes remain the same from this circumstance to this one, from this loving circumstance to this other circumstance. You can imagine what they might be, but they're there. But the attitudes of Jesus remain the same. Okay. I chose this one attitude. You can look through the Bible, lots of attitudes. You got the Beatitudes. Right? But the attitude I chose, I believe, is a foundational attitude, okay? Underneath all these attitudes lies this one. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know that word merely? It's in italicized. Some put it in parentheses. It's not really in the Scripture. I know that we look after our own stuff, but the attitude of Jesus, the attitude that He has, is He thinks about your agenda first. Your agenda first. Your agenda first. It's your agenda first. When we think about others, the world says it's you got to look after number one. You don't look after number one, who will? Well, Jesus, what was His attitude? He came to rescue us. He come thinking about our interests. What's good for these people? He came looking to get... Who was watching over Jesus anyway? Who was going to see that Jesus wasn't going to just be gone forever? I mean, He gave it all. Was there anybody watching over Him? His Father. His Father. Do you know that it's the Father who qualified you? It's the Father who has interest in you. You can give it all. You can surrender it all. You can give in to every attitude. And I'll tell you, if you do that, your stuff, whatever you thought was so important, will get done quicker. Faster, better. The attitude of Jesus is the attitude we need. It's always about the other person's stuff before my stuff. It's always about what's best for you rather than me. That's just an attitude. That's just who we are. That's who Jesus is. Any other attitude is a wrong attitude. And I'm telling you, if we have a wrong attitude, we might want to consider dealing with it. Okay. Who looks out for us? Who's going to look out for you if you really do that? If that's your attitude, who's going to look out for you? I'll tell you, the Father never takes His eye off of you. He never takes His eye off you. And everything that you need to get done will get done. Okay. Some of you have already went ahead and said, if I have this attitude, I'll never do anything much for myself again. The truth of the matter is an attitude precedes the action. An attitude is how you come into the situation. Okay? That's just the beginning of things. You don't know how it's all going to work out yet. That's just how you enter into every situation. You enter into all your situations thinking of the other people as more important than yourself. That's just how you enter in. That doesn't mean you're doing anything. That's just the attitude. But if you go in there with I got all this stuff to do today. I hope it, and you're going in with a different kind of attitude that it's about me first and I'll see if I can fit you in someplace. Guess what? You're not going to hear the Lord. It's the attitude that precedes the hearing. If you go in with your attitude, you hear, but you won't hear the Lord. You'll hear something else. It'll filter through that. The Lord may not let you do anything for that person. And if he doesn't, you should feel bad. Oh Lord, don't I get to do it? I mean, we got it the other way around. Didn't have to do that. You see the attitude, the difference? Attitudes are something about who we are. And in these days, brothers and sisters, we must have His attitude. I'm just about done. But I know I'm late. These are just three other verses just to kind of confirm that it pops up all over. Each of us should please his neighbor for his own good, to his edification. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his own neighbor. 1 Corinthians 10:24. The other one was Romans 15:2. And 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all. Wow. What kind of attitude is that? I mean, there's all kinds of other attitudes. Forgiveness, bearing one another's burdens. Okay. I'll end with this because Paul was having trouble finding someone with this attitude. He was looking for somebody to kind of precede him or to go after him, and he found one, Timothy. He found Timothy. That was the only one he could find. It says, "For I have no one else, kindred spirit, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." And so I'll leave you with this, but as you read the Bible, know that we've been brought into something so beautiful and so wonderful. But the only time you get to experience it truly is to actually walk it out. Actually have that attitude. Actually surrender to the attitudes of Jesus Christ. Actually take on His attitude. And be wonderful with it. Start walking it out. Start feeling bad when you don't get to do something for the other person. When the Lord says, "No, not this time, son. Not this time, son. Another time. Go about and do your stuff." But let it be the Lord who says no. Not yourself. Not your own attitude of you going in there and says, "Well, boy, look at that guy. He's got all that stuff to do. I just got to go." We've already checked out. We already have the wrong way to look at it. So, if there's something that the Lord has asked you to adjust today, I say deal with it with the Lord. Don't wait. The Holy Spirit is already working at you to change your attitude and to give you His attitude. He's already at work in you. Just start agreeing with Him, okay? It may not happen overnight, may not happen in a week, but once you agree with the Lord and say, "Lord, I know this attitude is right, give it to me," that's when it starts actually working. And husbands and wives, when you both have that attitude, it's beautiful. Lord, thank You that You did not leave us, but You gave us everything we need. And You gave us Your life, which is full of You and full of who You are. Lord, help us to become who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.